Welcome back to Talking Baseball with Bill Lasky. I'm honored and pleased to bring on my buddy today on the broadcast. And I tell you what, 13 Emmy Award winner. No doubt about it. He's fabulous. He goes pre and post games for the Oakland A's as well as the San Jose Sharks. You can follow him on Twitter at BrodyNBCS. And also, he's got a YouTube channel, Brody Brazil. Let's bring him in. How are you today, Brody?
That's the part I appreciate most right there. That's the biggest plug. Those Emmys are getting dusty. You know that. So
hey, I tell you what, 13 of them, 13 of them, Brody, they're like a Gold Glove winners, right? You were a Gold Glove winning award, like a Brooks Robinson, right?
It's a great paperweight these days, I tell you. sure, whatever you want to call it. But no, I'm really happy to be here, and thanks for bringing on the A's guy.
Well, you know what, Brody, this weekend, of course, today, opening of a two-game series with the Oakland A's at Oakland. And, you know, we watch these teams since All-Star break, and the Oakland A's have definitely been playing a lot better baseball. They've won 6 out of their last 10, winners the last 2 against the Angels. What have you seen different since the All-Star break?
They've just been able to produce runs. In June, their 5-win month was just an offensive struggle every single game. It feels like you could predict the outcome, you know, for Oakland. 4 hits, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 runs, game after game. And so pitching wasn't bad. Bullpen was okay, but obviously run support for nobody wins you pretty much nothing, and that's what happened to them. And their bullpen was shaky, too, even in some games where they had leads or did score 5 or 6 or 7. So I would say main problems were offense number 1, bullpen number 2, and both those things just kind of got shored up after the All-Star break. And look, I think we all recognize the A's are drastically different from who they were 365 days ago. But, you know, I'm not saying that they've turned things around for good, but I think they were underperforming to a certain degree the entire season up until the All-Star break. And I think in the month, you know, since then, basically, or almost a month since then, they've been probably at where a lot of people expected. And that's with some subtractions, too. So it's been nice to see. It's encouraging. But, you know, overall, big picture, I think it's still an uphill battle for this team.
And both these teams have had veteran leadership. Both of them have had struggling years. You look at Piscotty hitting 197, Kemp 214, Larinano 227. You look on the opposite side where you're seeing Belt, Crawford, Longoria in the same boat. These veterans just are not having good years. Anything you can put a pointer on?
Not necessarily. You know, I think that's a great point, though. You know, we were talking about a month and a half ago about the same thing on the A's side. Exactly what you're mentioning is that the known commodity players, right? It's one thing that, you know, the A's are bringing up a bunch of players and trying them in different spots, the Nick Allens, the Sheldon Noises, Christian Pache at the beginning of this season. That's one thing. And you don't necessarily expect them to come out of the gate, you know, hitting 275, 290. But I agree with your point that, you know, a Piscotty, even a Sean Murphy until as of late, even a Seth Brown for Oakland as of late, these are bats that were, you know, last year you thought, all right, even with all the subtractions, these will be guys that'll get you through it. And they just were not getting the team through it. I can't really put a finger on what that might have been. I also think sometimes that, you know, we talked to Sean Murphy about this the other day, you know, he had never really been the Oakland A's cleanup hitter or the three hitter. And that's basically what he is now on an every game basis. So it might just be the fact that they were asked to do more. They were asked to do more a lot more often, and it just hadn't panned out for all those guys. But Murphy and Brown, you remember that old show Murphy Brown, right?
Well, sure I do.
Murphy and Brown, their bats are probably, I would say, leading the way the most for this team in the last month or so.
Brody Brazil joining me and talking baseball as we get you ready for the first game of a two-game series in Oakland. A big crowd today and tomorrow. Of course, a lot of Giant fans will cruise over to Oakland and watch this series. And every year it seems like at All-Star break, when the trading deadline starts, the Oakland A's always give up big pieces. And again, two major starting pitcher and a reliever gets pulled, goes to the Yankees. What does that do for the organization? Does it keep players on their toes? Are they nervous around, you know, trade deadline, it seems like?
I think this one, this time around, was a lot different in a sense that we could see it coming. The Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino deal to New York, at least the Montas side of it, I mean, we had known since spring training that he was one of five players. In fact, he was the last of the big kind of five players between Chapman, Olson, Bassett, Manaea, and now Frankie, that were all eventually dealt. And it was kind of a surprise that he didn't get dealt coming out of Arizona and back up here to start the season in April. So the writing was on the wall. This was going to happen. To be honest, Bill, the writing was on the wall. This was going to happen the day that the A's parted ways with Bob Melvin back in October of 2021, that the change of direction. So I wouldn't say that this, you know, in a lot of circumstances with a lot of teams, yeah, you might say that you didn't see it coming. I think everybody knew this was coming. Everybody also knows what the organization is doing. You know, I saw some criticism surrounding the Rockies, you know, for not doing anything at the trade deadline, and their front office saying, well, we made our team better. People say, well, how? Like, what, you know, there's nothing going on. But one thing you can say about the A's, and I think this is almost a motivating thing, despite the fact that, you know, a lot of people are frustrated by the flip, another flip again of players, is that at least there's direction with it. Direction does come with it. They are making progress. They are bringing up players that are young and exciting. And granted, they are very, very green. And it might be a couple of years until they're doing what's expected. But at least there is that. So to be honest, yeah, sure. Uneasy, frustrating, unfortunate. None of us like to look over and see a Frankie Montas in pinstripes. And for Lou Trevino, that's a whole different story. He was such a key figure in the bullpen for the A's 2018, 2019, kind of struggled through 20 and 21, and then this year had a couple real meltdowns. But I think we all knew that he's the type of guy where I think a change of scenery might totally flip his season upside down. So I think the Yankees knew what they were doing in going after him, despite what the season stats said.
Well, Brody, today, Adam Oyler, 27-year-old right-hander, sometime in a bullpen and as a starter, 1-4 with a 7.6. Really, you know, small numbers, 38 and two-thirds innings. Can you give us a little radar of what we're going to be able to see today?
Yeah, so he came over in the Chris Bassett deal, and he was actually on the A's opening day roster, made the first three or four starts, struggled there, only recently picked up his first big league win, but was down, back down in AAA. And he's a guy that's just had, not a hard thrower, but has had so much success at AAA. And then all of a sudden it just does not translate, hadn't been translating at the major league level. So he's one of the guys, there's a handful of them who basically right now are trying to win a job in the rotation for the rest of the year, you know, and that's kind of the thing with Frankie Montas departing. We all knew that was going to happen. The A's have, and Oyler was really that fifth starter guy all season long, or at least was in that type of role. There's two jobs to be won, and I think that's the main thing for him the rest of the season. Yeah, sure, it hasn't been great, and sure, the expectations, you know, I mean, he would have liked to have been on the opening day roster and never looked back, but that hasn't played out that way. So I think for him and a couple others I could name, that their goal is to be the guy the rest of the year, help the rotation have a decent finish to the season.
Brody Brazil joining me for a few more minutes on Talking Baseball. The Oakland A's started a Hall of Fame tomorrow on Sunday. Yeah. They induct Ray Fosse, of course. What a great guy he was. Sal Bando, Eric Chavez, Joe Rudy, Keith Leafman, and then Steve Vucinic. Can you tell us a little bit how you feel about some of these guys?
Gosh, where to begin? The Hall of Fame, a couple years old. You know, the A's were kind of relatively late to the game to starting one of these, but I'm glad they did. And I certainly hope that the Hall of Fame is a physical, tangible location someday, more than just a list of names. And I think it will be with a new venue. You started with Foss. I guess I could there too. You know, originally yeah. he was not on the docket to be inducted this year, but nobody expected his passing back at the end of last season. So I think that one's gonna hit home. You know, Sal Bando, the captain, what more can you say about that? Glad to see that, you know, history kind of being honored in terms of one of the greatest third basemen, and the A's have had plenty of all time. Joe Rudy, incredible player for the A's in the 70s, great catch, great human being, get to talk to him on a regular basis. Steve Yusenich, the East clubhouse manager until last season, for all their years in the city of Oakland, was the longest tenured employee. One of the faces that you just don't get to see a lot unless you're on the inside. And then the other one you mentioned, Keith Lippman, one of the directors of player development for the A's for now 50. He's in his 52nd season with the A's. And for all the things we could criticize the franchise for over the years, the one thing you can't is player development. In fact, the only criticism is you got to keep the players you develop, but no problem developing them. Keith has been a mainstay in that. And then, you know, Xavi, the six-time Gold Glove winner, one of the best players in baseball history to never be an all-star, crazy enough. You know, so it's a really good class, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you know, who's there and the things they say. And it's always great every year to kind of have this history and honor it. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, last one for you, Brody. Vince Scully passing away this past week. I know you as a commentator and broadcaster and things of that magnitude, you followed Vince Scully. Of course, we all did in his elite way of broadcasting games. A story from you, something about Vince Scully that you could bring to us today?
Yeah, 88 World Series, Kirk Gibson fist pumping around second base and Vince Scully on the call. One of my earlier childhood memories. But no, you know, it's one of those deals where I never really crossed paths with him. But it's also one of those situations where I know so many people who knew him directly. And I think the biggest takeaway is just the stories of him, but they don't really center around, oh, he was so good at calling games. He was the nicest guy you'd ever meet. He would check in with people. He would circle back to people he just met. He would never forget your name when you met him. And that's just the personal side. There's also the professional side of, you know, 67 years of calling games for one franchise and 28 World Series he called. And the first was at age 25. It's just an amazing, like, resume that will never be matched or topped. And all of that in a job where he did it by himself. Like, you know, all of us in 2022, we lean on our partner, right? If you're the announcer, you have an analyst, whether you're in the studio or whether you're calling the actual game. He did it all by himself, essentially, for all those years. And his call was simulcasted on television and radio. He was doing the job of four different people nowadays. So I think it's pretty amazing. And I just close it off with this. I mean, you mentioned Ray Fosse earlier, who was, you know, a broadcast icon for Oakland baseball for so many years. And for us to kind of, you know, have that loss and feeling last fall and now this, you know, it kind of – we know how Dodger fans feel, but of course – you know, Vin was more than just Dodger baseball. So a huge loss. And, you know, it's unfortunate when you lose a couple like that in a short time span. It's the same feeling all over again. And it is a good feeling to reflect, but the loss is definitely felt.
Oh, great stuff again from you, Brody. Continued success. I love watching you guys on the pre and post game with the Oakland A's, as well as watching you doing hockey. You do a great job, and continued success, my friend.
I appreciate it, Bill. And you know what the best part about this weekend is? Somebody's got to win each one of these games. Somebody, one of these teams is actually going to feel happy about some results.
Hey, just remember, it's your trophy they're fighting over. Just remember that. I remember all that, Brody.
That's a whole separate segment. We'll have to talk about that another time.
All right. Thanks again, Brody. Appreciate your time.
You got it.
Brody Brazil on Talking Baseball. More coming up right here on KNBR, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.